This is our second of 2 weeks learning chapter 21, Perchaf Aleph. We are, it's a short chapter, but we got up to Pasuk Yud Aleph, actually, on the top of page 142. What happened at the beginning of the Perek, last time we met, which was a little while back, was David HaMelech, or actually I should just call him David at this point, he was running away from the king, who was plotting to kill him. As we know, he's been running away from him, literally to protect him from his own, save his life. And he went to the city of Nov, which is called Nov Ir HaKohanim, city where all Kohanim lived. And he wanted to be able to be protected, or at least to get some food. Now, it was very dangerous for the Kohen Achimelech to do so, because if the king would get word that he was given provisions and food, it might actually mean his head. And as we will touch upon maybe today, and certainly the following week, in the next parak, we're going to see that's exactly what happens. The city of Nov Ir HaKohanim gets completely destroyed. And the reason for this, as we'll see next chapter, next week, is because Shaul felt that they were being Mord B'Malchus, that they were rebelling against the king by providing for David bread when he was supposed to be turned in. Of course, Achimelech didn't know this. Achimelech was shocked when he came. And one of the reasons why he was surprised, commentators explain, is because he came by himself. Usually a great man like David should be going with many powerful people to follow him. Furthermore, it was on Shabbos, which means that David was Mechal Shabbos. He desecrated Shabbos, and to travel from one place to the next. He was shocked to see David having done so. So this whole story was unfolding on Shabbos, and he was starving to death. He was going to die out of starvation if he was not given food. So therefore he asked, do you have any food? And he said, all I have is lechem aponim, the showbreads which are placed on the shulchan, on the table, in the kodesh. So
we discussed that he
was desecrated the Sabbath. He absolutely had no choice, because otherwise, if he stayed where he was, he would have been killed by the king. So he had every right. In fact, he was obligated to be Mechal Shabbos in order to preserve his life.
But I mean, the fact that he had no food.
And he had no food. Right, exactly. So the fact that he ate food which normally is prohibited to David, nonetheless, he was certainly allowed to do so. A person is allowed to do anything to preserve their life, with the exception of the big three. In Maine, there's yellow pages called the Big Three. The Big Three are Gilui Arayos, Avodah Zarah, and Shfichas Damim. Literally, murder, idol worship, and adultery. Other than those three, and even those, obviously, there's a lot of laws connected to them.
And I heard that keep, that was only for personal saving, but if it was for the nation, for Klal Yisrael, then you could do even those things.
Could be. It could be. And then there's a lot of laws attached to it. But certainly, Chilul Shabbos, eating whatever you need to eat to survive. You know, if you're stranded on an island, you know, you're literally a survivor, and you don't get $1 million if you survive. You can eat whatever you find on that beach. You can't say, oh, I'm sorry, it's pastnish, I can't eat these bugs or whatever they have. You eat whatever you can to survive. And that's what David did. David ate whatever he could to survive. Now, as we are about to begin, on page 140, it discussed that David actually turned to Achimelech and asked for a sword, which was an unbelievable thing for him to ask for, because we know that even when he fought against Goliath, he didn't even have a sword. He had a little slingshot. That's how he killed him. And he ended up giving him the sword of Goliath, because that sword was placed in an inside chamber, and it was some type of a sign for all future generations to remember the miracles that Hashem did. And we discussed last time that that was perhaps the reason why it was put in an... It wasn't out in full display, on someone's mantle, but rather was out... It was kind of hidden, because the truth is, it's not a sword that causes the Jewish people to be victorious. It's our allegiance and dedication and connection to God. And our spiritual connection is what caused David to win against Goliath. So the reason why we're going to see that he asked for the sword is not necessarily because he was going to use it, but he was hoping at least that would maybe instill a certain level either of fear or respect. Fear that people would remember that he was the one that killed this giant, and respect because people are going to say that he was disloyal to the king. Look at this sword. Not only was I not a person who was disloyal, I was so loyal that I was willing to put my life on the line and fight this huge giant, and fortunately I was miraculously victorious. But don't listen to this king. That's the significance, the symbolism possibly of holding on the sword. I was someone that did nothing wrong. I was always showing my allegiance to the king. Okay, with that said, let's continue with Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud Aleph on page 142. The very top of the page. Vayakam David. David arose, he got up. And again, this is, apparently it's still Shabbos. Vayivrach b'yom ahu mipnei Sha'ol. And he ran away from this place. He went there, basically had this dialogue with the Kohen, and he had enough, he ate his fill so that he'll be able to function. And he continued to run. It was just like a pit stop, right? That's all it was. He continued to run. V'yavo el Achish Melech Gas. And he went to a king by the name of Achish, who was the king of Gas, or Gath, as it's translated into English. So, what's the big deal? And actually, we also have in our packet a map which kind of outlines where Gath is, which is more west of Nov. On the top right on our map, you'll see that there's some arrows showing where David was running to, and he was by Nov.
You don't have a map.
You don't have a map
on.
Oh. My bad. Well, anyways, in that case, this is the map of Israel. And you can see over here, where you can, it's a small print. This is Nov, and Gath is over there, next to the Yam HaGadol, the Mediterranean Sea, the western border of Israel. So that's where he was traveling to. So what's the big deal? So he went to a nice, beautiful place. Maybe he went to the beach afterwards, you know, he took a nice dip in the sea. Why do we really care that he went to this place? Well, the problem of going to Achish Melech Gas is because they were Philistines. They were the Pelishtim. So what? Maybe he had a really great relationship with the Pelishtim. Not really, because of course he was the one that killed their leader, their warrior Goliath, and everyone knew that David didn't just fight that war, he fought numerous wars afterwards, and he killed thousands, tens of thousands of Pelishtim. But he had no other choice. He was stuck between a rock and a hard place. He can either stay where he is, people are chasing after him, he will be killed. So he had to keep running. He had no choice but to keep running west, and he ended up going to the city of the Pelishtim. Pelishtim are going to kill him just as badly. Right? He's going to die. So what is he supposed to do? But what choice does he really have? So let's see the very bizarre plan that David has. Vayomru avde Achish Elam. So the servants of Achish, the king, said to him, Halozeh David melech haaretz. Isn't this the David, this David character, who thinks he's the ruler and king over the land? Hello, Lazeh Yanu b'mecholos lemor. Isn't this the same guy that people used to sing with musical instruments saying, Hikashal be'alafav, that Shaul, the king, who a terrible enemy of us, the Pelishtim, he used to kill thousands. But David Birvosa, he used to kill 10,000. So he used to kill a lot more. And that's what they used to sing to praise David, which actually humiliated Shaul. But you see, he killed thousands upon thousands of us. We're going to let this guy live? Let's kill him.
My question before you translated it was going to be, why did they call him king of the land? But you put it in a different way entirely. You put it as a question, who thinks himself as king of the land. I thought it's a statement. Zeh David melech haaretz.
Right.
So, what is the story on that?
Because on one hand, we know that David has been anointed. He really is the king to be. And maybe not. But the way I understand it is based on the song that they would sing, that Shaul killed thousands, David killed tens of thousands. So it means that Shaul was a tremendous enemy, but David is even a greater enemy than us. So he's like the king of our enemies. He's the worst of all of them. So it's not only that it's that Shaul, maybe he's the king now, but David is someone that is... There's two things. What bothered Shaul also heard this song. He hated the lyrics of this song because it offended him. He thought that David was trying to overthrow him because he was more powerful. So the fact that maybe these Philistines saw that David killed more people than Shaul also showed his power, and that in fact he also had some ability to be a king, because Hashem obviously cares and gives him more strength than even the king himself. So maybe David really is the king. That's a question, exactly the words.
To my way of reading it, it's not that they're questioning whether or not he is, but they're actually making a statement. He's like the king of the land, you know? He did this, and he has this power, whatever.
Right.
It's not a question of saying, well, who is he, this arrogant young guy? Who does he think he is?
Right. No, it's interesting, because they are calling him a king, which... He's really not, right? He's not recognized as the king. And Shaul will do everything in his power to make sure that never happens. But clearly, people did respect him as such. And he had the power of a king that he was able to defeat tens of thousands. The other explanation could be as follows. Now, I don't know if it's been said, but it's probably hard to understand that one man can kill 10,000 people, right? It's very hard to understand. So how is someone able to kill 10,000 people? It's not just me, but I give the commands of certain people to follow my orders. So when it comes to Shaul, how much power does he have? He has the power to command people to kill 1,000. David has the power to command people to kill 10,000, which means that people are more willing to listen to David than to Shaul, which that itself shows his power and greatness.
Well, maybe it wasn't just like power like that, but power maybe because he was Goliath, so they followed him better. More people would follow him with
his act of bravery. Right. So he displayed greater acts of leadership than even the king himself. So therefore, maybe that's the reason why they call him king, because that's how people respect him, maybe even greater than the king himself. But it certainly needs work, the words David Melech Haaretz. Okay, let's move on to the next Pasuk Yud Gimel. So there's David, stuck in this city where every single person, it's enough that everyone hates you. Okay, that's not so much fun to live in a community where everyone hates you. But where everyone wants to kill you, then you're in big trouble. So what is David going to do? If he leaves the city, he knows he's going to just go back, and there's a bunch of people that want to kill him there too. Everyone wants to kill him. So V'yasim David as the Devarim O'Ela Bilvavo. So David took this matter, placed it into his heart, and logically speaking, he was pretty scared. He was frightened about what was going to happen. So, what did he do to be able to somehow convince them not to kill him? Did he go on his hands and knees and beg, please, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have killed Goliath. I had a bad day. I didn't mean to kill him, sorry. Very interesting thing which he did. Which is even more interesting, we actually mention this in our davening every week, which we'll get to in a moment. Pasuk Yudal says, "V'yishanu es tamo beinehem." V'yishanu is translated over here by the Mishnah of Sion, is Meloshin Hishtanu Svechov. He changed his actions beinehem in front of them, which means he acted a little bit different than he usually does in his words. Continuing the pasuk, v'yis holel b'yadam. V'yis holel, if you see Rashi, Rashi says, nishtata, comes from the word shota. He acted insane, crazy. He was acting like he had lost his mind. V'yasav al-dlosos hashar. What did he do? V'yasu, Rashi says, v'yichto. He started writing on the walls, right? Same which my little toddlers do. They color all over the walls. It drives me crazy. They spend hours to clean up their mess. But that's what he was doing. You have to be crazy here. You start coloring all over the walls. Vayored Riro el Zikono. And Riro came down from his beard. Riro, Rashi says, Roko, saliva, spit, he was drooling, right? So they looked at him as a madman, like a rabid dog, crazy guy. So, why did he do this? What was his motive? Well, let's see what the Radak has to say over here. The Radak says, on Pasuk Gedalet, Shina Estavara, he changed his mannerism of speaking. He was probably a very eloquent, intelligent, brilliant man. He began to probably slur his words. V'daitu v'nehem, and also his mindset changed in their eyes, the way that he acted. K'dei shis nakir lehem, to be estranged to them. V'yichashu lashu David. So people are going to look at him and say, this can't be the great David who wrote Psalms, this eloquent poet and brilliant man, this great warrior. This can't be the same guy. Looks like him. Maybe it's his twin brother, right? Maybe this is the black sheep in the family. This is not the same David. Oh, says Radak, maybe the other reason why he was acting crazy, Kedei Laharos Atzmo Shot Vineyim. Maybe he went a little crazy. You know, he lost his mind. Yes, this is the same guy, David. What are you going to do? You're going to kill him? He's insane. He lost his mind. You know, the elevator doesn't go on to the top floor. You're going to kill him now? It's ridiculous. He's innocent. There's nothing you can do.
He played insanity.
Exactly. He literally, he played insanity. Right. He was, so what are we going to do? We're going to kill this guy? It's ridiculous. If he was a true threat to us, we will make a mockery of him and we'll hang him in the public square. This guy's insane. So what's the point? What's the point of killing him? We're going to see the next pasuk that maybe David knew something even more intimate about the family of the king himself. Let's see the next pasuk Tedvav. V'yomer Achish Elavadav. So Achish, the king, said to his servants, you know, he dragged this guy, you claim he's David, maybe, I don't know. Hine Siru Ish Mishtageya. Behold, I see this man who is nuts, he's crazy. Well, must have also a lie. Why are you bringing him to me? Why are you bringing this crazy guy to me? Says Masudas David. Hine Siro, hello, Reisen. Do you not see Shehu Ish Meshuga? So Masudas David, he's Meshuga, he's crazy. But David, hello, who maskil. David was the guy who has the greatest seichel, most intellectual man. Im Cain, if that's so, Ein Ze David. Similar to one of the two explanations of the Radak, this can't be the same guy. Why are you bringing him to me? Well, what's the point? Why are you bringing such a crazy guy to me? This can't be the same David that killed Goliath and is a threat to our nation. What are you bringing him to me for? Pasuk Tet Zion, which is the last pasuk in the parak. Chasar Mishugayim Ani. What? Look at my community, my city, a bunch of crazy people I have to deal with. Right? Am I missing crazy people in my community? I'm lacking them. We have a quota to meet. Kaveisim et zeh, they have to bring him too? Lishtagelai, to also be crazy and make me nuts also with all his noise and screaming and antics? Hazel Yavu El Basi. This is the person I should bring, into my home. Says the Radak. Why was he so bothered about a crazy guy? Okay, maybe every community has people who are insane. Rahman al-Atslan. Unfortunately, not everyone has the mental capacity to be able to function in society. So why is Achish so wrapped up about this guy that he's almost like personally threatened by him? He's just an insane man. Says the Radak. Chasar mishugaymani, bidmiya. He said it in a bewildered way, in a state of question. V'chei hayisi chas mishugayim, do you think I'm missing crazy people around me? V'sar chaleihem kizeh haveisim ilai, that I need more crazy people to hang around me? Right? I feel like there's like a bumper sticker that says, I'm surrounded by, what is that? I'm surrounded by crazy people. I'm surrounded by mishugayim? Ki haveisim ilai, you're bringing him to me? Listen to this. It says the Medrash Tehillim, Ki ishto shel Achish ubito hay mishugaot. Achish, unfortunately, this was very close to him because his wife, as well as Achish's daughter, were also mentally incompetent. Because of this, he constantly heard and saw people that were crazy within his own family. So he said, wait, now you have to bring them from the outside? I already have enough people that I have to deal with within my own inner circles. So now you're going to bring this another crazy person to join my family, one big happy family? I don't want this guy. Get him out of here. So therefore, he said this clearly cannot be done. And it's brought down in the Sefer Mishpasot Zahav. It says as follows. Let's get to the right page. It says in the Yalkut, this is what it means in the Pasuk in Ecclesiastes and Koheles, es hakol asa yafa bi'ito. Everything is done properly in its time. Similar in Koheles, which the birds made famous, turn, right? Everything has its time. So that the Pasuk says, es hakol asa yafa bi'ito. Every single thing in this world, everything that God put in this world, there is a reason for it. Says the Yalkut, that kol ma she'asa Kodesh Baruch Hu ba'olamo, whatever Hashem put in, yafa, really has a good place. It has to fit in that certain points in time, it has benefits. She'David ha'melech ha'yeh mitamah. David was a brilliant man, could not understand. And he asked Hashem, ma bara es hashtus? Why did you invent craziness in this world? Ma tu'eles? What's the purpose of it? Yafa li'yos mimena. What's the benefit of it? Just craziness. Why do you want a craziness? What's the benefit of such a thing? And on this, Hashem answered David, Chayecha, I swear to you, by your life, Chitztarechlo, you will also need it. Amar lo Kodesh Baruch Hu, Chitztarech Dispalla, you're going to actually be begging and praying until you'll actually be able to have this element of craziness upon you. So, the idea of what this is saying is if there was no such thing as craziness, then David acting crazy, people think, well, they won't think he's crazy. They'll think he's crazy, but they won't think he's crazy because there's no such thing as being crazy. The point is that the fact that there's insanity in this world was able to then protect David by pretending that he himself was also insane. But if Hashem never put such an element into this world, then David would not have had that way to have been able to protect himself. He would have been killed by the Philistines.
David did the same thing with the spider.
What's that?
That he said to Hashem, why did you need a spider? Why did you create a spider? For what use is this? And Hashem said, you're going to need it. And then he hid in the cave, and they were looking for him, and the spider web was there, so they said nobody went through because the web wasn't broken.
Right. Very good. So you see that David, it may be also the same Yalkut. I didn't see the whole thing. It's only a piece. But that's one of the times that he complained. Very good. So, and actually, if we look on the English over here on page 143, this is actually what it says as well. On the left column in the bottom English, it says, according to the Midrash Socher Tov, David had once asked, said to God, all you create is beautiful, and the most beautiful of all is wisdom. So what's the value of madness? What satisfaction can it be derived from a lunatic who rips his clothing, chased by children, mocked by all? God answers, David, someday you will need the madness that you now criticize. You'll even pray, and I'll give you the gift of madness. And in fact, according to the Kli Yakar, it wasn't that he was acting insane. He didn't receive the Academy Award over here for acting for the best supporting actor. He did this because he really was crazy. He really received temporary insanity. That's what the Kli Yakar says. Shedavid kibo min hashtus mamish. Because otherwise they'd be like, come on, this guy's just acting crazy, right? We can just get a neuropsychologist over here and they'll be able to say that he's perfectly fine. But the fact is, the Kli Yakar says that he was really overtaken, truly, by the character of shtus, of insanity. And the reality is that even though his name is Achish, we know whenever we find, for example, in Egypt, we always have the name Paro. Even though it may not necessarily be Paro, but that's what every king was given that name, Paro, in Egypt. Similarly, when it came to the Philistines, every single one of the Philistines' kings were also given names similar to Paro. But instead of Paro, that king's name was Abimelech. Straight across the board. So even though, in fact, this gentleman's name was Achish, we also call him throughout the texts, we call him Avimelech. What's the benefit of me telling you that? Because actually in Psukah de Zimra, on Shabbos, there is a paragraph of Tehillim which is designated specifically for this exact section that we just learned in Sefer Shmuel. Specifically, Tehillim Lamed Daled, chapter 34, which is on Shabbos, namely the paragraph which begins the first sentence, L'David b'shanoto et tamo lifnei Avimelech v'igarshehu v'yelach, which is in the middle of Psukah de Zimra on Shabbos. We say this every week. Okay, well, what does that mean, b'shanoto et tamo? Before I read the translation in English, it's almost exactly the same language as Pasuk Yudal that we just read. Bishano es tamo. And the translation over here is, of David, when he disguised his sanity before Avimelech, who drove him out and he left. So this paragraph, Kapitel Tehillim, Lamed Daled, is specifically written in recognition of this particular time in history. In fact, if you look on your own, you'll see the on the bottom there's a commentary in the Art Scroll Siddur, and it talks all about this particular section in Tehillim. And this is one of the few places where we find an Aleph Bet, like an Ashrei. Every sentence begins Aleph Bet, it continues as an acrostic, it's called. So too, this paragraph of L'David is also an acrostic. Abrachat Hashem, Bashem Titalel Nafshi, Gadol Hashem Iti. Which generally, the idea of any acrostic, anytime you find Aleph Bet Gimel, it's a tremendously powerful tefillah. And the reason is, it's saying that Hashem is completely praised. We praise God completely. I can use any letter of the alphabet, any way that I begin my sentence, I can always express a way of showing my gratitude and love toward you. Similar to the famous kid song, A, you're adorable, B, you're so beautiful. But that's the idea of the Ashrei, of also this paragraph, that the alphabet sequence is saying that no matter how I begin my sentence, I can always find a way to acknowledge my praise toward you. So the question is, this is such a beautiful tefillah, such a beautiful prayer. Why do we only say it once a week? Maybe this tefillah of L'David b'shanato et tamo lifnei Avimelech v'yigarshehu v'yelach should really be said every day. Why do we have to wait and only say it once a week? So we mentioned, what day of the week was it? It was on Shabbos. So no coincidence, the Mepharshim explain, that we deliberately only say this tefillah on Shabbos, the time in which David himself was protected and saved because of his acting a little bit crazy, a little meshuggah. That was the way that he was protected on Shabbos, because we talked about it. He was Mechal Shabbos. He was running from one place to the next. And that's exactly when this tefillah is recited. Okay. So that's the connection between a little bit of Tehillim and as well as why we say that on Shabbos as opposed to any other time. Before we conclude this chapter and begin with at least the first couple of psukim of the next parak, is that it's a very important message that is brought down that we just learned in the Yalkut. And when he said, what's the purpose of insane people? What's the purpose? What's the real benefit of people who are crazy? The reality is that when we in our lives have certain skills, we have certain qualities, it's really something which Hashem gave us. We believe that HaKol B'Yidei Shamayim Chutz Li'Yirat Shamayim. God gave us our wisdom. And when a person has more wisdom, more skills, comes with that greater responsibility. And the fact that I, not myself personally, but the fact that I am more knowledgeable than this person over here does not make me a better person. It means that I have a greater responsibility to do more in this world, to accomplish more. Because Hashem at the end of 120 years does not compare me to Him. Hashem will say, I gave you all these extra skills. What did you do with those extra skills? The fact that you're equal to Him does not make you equal in Hashem's eyes. It makes you much less. Because look at the minimal skills that I gave him, and yet he reached his potential. How about you? So it's said about a person who's a shota, and God forbid a person should ever show disrespect to someone who's a shota. Because after 120 years, because they were given the minimal amount of skills in this world, when they go to the Olam HaEmes, Hashem will embrace them and say, you reached your potential. And therefore, some of the great gedolim of this generation, past generations, whenever someone who's mentally incompetent would walk by, they would stand up for them. They would show tremendous respect for them. Because they understood that this was a person that 100% is going to be going to Olam Haba, to the Olam HaEmes. However, for ourselves, as knowledgeable as we are, as great as we think we are, have we reached our potential? And that's something which we should always consider. Not to compare ourselves against the other person, but we only have to compare ourselves, the true litmus test, to compare ourselves to ourselves. Okay, we're going to continue with the next chapter.